Why? Because God has a special purpose for the earth. Quite, and I put this important here, distant from the purpose for the heavenlies. Just as the earth and the heaven is far distance away, he has a different purpose for both. So in light of that, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15:3-8, because that is the passage that will be important to understand today. And in 1 Corinthians 15, I may have to look at my notes more than usual, so bear with me, because I've never done two different lessons on the same day. And I prepared this lesson last night from 7 till 12, and then got up in the morning at 6 and reviewed my lesson for the first time. So bear with me. If I make a mistake, somebody correct me, please. So 1 Corinthians 15, let's follow along as we read verses 3 through 8, please. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's, of course, Paul's gospel. But now notice the next verses. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, some have died. After that he was seen of James, and the James he's talking about there is James the brother of Christ, not James the brother of John. Then of all the apostles again. And last of all, he was seen to me, here's the key also, as of one born out of due time. And that's the key to understand this message. One born out of due time. He's not talking about being born later. He's talking about being born before his time came. So he was actually here on earth, of course, at the time that the apostles were bringing their message. So when Paul says very clearly his as one born out of due time, he's talking about before his time. And the scriptures will bear this out, because he persecuted the kingdom church, as we know. So what do we know then about the apostle Paul, and how he emphasizes his message over a thousand times in Paul's epistles? He uses the pronouns I, me, my, mine. You say, boy, Paul has an ego. But Paul's not emphasizing himself. He's emphasizing his message. I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office, which is very important to understand. So look at 1 Corinthians 9:1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So very Paul is emphasizing something that is very important, because there had to be a reason. That's why Paul says the signs of an apostle were given by me. Why was that important? Because signs are in it. He says, and Paul says, he said, the signs of an apostle is of me. And why this is important, because they would not have accepted Paul as an apostle, the 12, unless he had the same signs that the 12 had, that he was able to heal and do miracles as the 12. That's why in the book of Acts, you'll see something so significant, that after the book of Acts, after he says, after three strikes Israel and you're out, that he gives us the prison epistles, you do not see Paul ever healing again. And he says just the opposite. He tells Timothy to take a little wine for thy constant infirmity. He tells us that he left Trophimus nigh unto death. He didn't take him with him because he was sick. So therefore, why did he not do the same things as we're going to see in the Acts period? Because very clearly he could have healed both of them if the signs of the apostles were still necessary, but that's not true as we get into the prison epistles. So the secret, the signs were necessary at that time. Now, why is this important? Because maybe I'm not going to go into all the verses, but look at the book of Acts, and you can do this study on your own, and you're going to see in the book of Acts that Paul duplicated every single miracle that Peter performed. So that is necessary to two of the 10 men. To Peter was given the keys of the kingdom, and to Paul was given, of course, the gospel of the grace of God. So very clearly, in understanding this, we can see why Paul, and let's look at this very clearly, Peter spoke with tongues, Paul spoke with tongues. And again, I will look on. Paul healed a man coming from his mother's womb. So did Paul. Peter had a jail deliverance. So did Paul. But he did not have a jail deliverance at the end of his ministry when he was beheaded, did he? So there you see the difference. Peter healed a man of an incurable disease. So did Paul. Peter raised one from the dead. So did Paul. Every miracle Peter performed, so did Paul. Okay? So remember that, so did Paul. Now, I'm not going to look at all those verses. Search it out for your sight. It's a beautiful thing how he duplicated and how important that was, that he had to do the signs of an apostle for they to accept him and the divine authority that he was given from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, won't he necessarily have to look at two passages then? Look at Acts chapter 5, dealing with Peter. And in Acts chapter 5, we have to just deal with three verses here, 14 through 16. Bob, would you read those, please? Acts 5, 14 through 16.
Okay. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and at the least of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also unto the multitude out of the cities, round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one.
Now, why is that significant? Well, it's significant because you're going to hear today that if somebody, these people that are preaching a healing ministry, if somebody doesn't get healed, what is the first thing that they'll say?
Didn't have enough faith.
Didn't have enough faith. That's the first thing, sir. Or it was not God's will. Does that say that anywhere there?
No.
It had nothing to do. It had to do with the power that Peter had. The power that he was given when he said, the promise of the Holy Spirit, Christ said, will come upon you. So in light of that, we'll see the same thing when you get to Paul's ministry in the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 19 and look at verse 11 and 12, please. Follow along. Acts 19, 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto him, unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Again, everyone is healed. Go to Acts chapter 28 as Paul ends his Acts ministry. And in Acts 28, notice verse 8 and 9. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. Where's the power? The power is in Paul. It had nothing to do with his faith. Now notice at the end what Paul does. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were what?
Healed.
So Paul had to duplicate everything Peter did to show his divine authority and that he's an apostle. Because if there's only one gospel, think of this, as people will tell us, oh, Peter and Paul preach one, then there's no need for Paul. There's no need for a 13th apostle. Because Christ already chose 12. He already chose a person to replace Judas before they could offer the kingdom to Israel at Pentecost. Because then Peter could not have said to all the house of Israel, I say assuredly, this man that you have crucified has become both Lord and Christ. He could not have said that because there would not have been 12 apostles to do what, according to Matthew 19:28? Sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Paul could not fit in that. A lot of people say, well, they made a mistake there. Paul should have been the 12. All you have to do is go back to Acts, that the two men that were chosen, that they had decided upon, had to be two men that were with Christ from the beginning of his ministry. And Paul did not fulfill that description. So Paul could not have been one of the 12, as people try to tell us, because they don't look at Scripture. Now, the best thing, and I said this a little bit on Sunday, the best thing ever happened to me is because I have a problem sometimes with remembering things, so I put them together by letters or by words, and then you'll remember it. And I had an eighth grade geography teacher who taught me something that helped me the rest of my high school and college and graduate works that I ever did. And he said to us, I'm going to give you a word, and you will never forget the five great lakes. Does anybody know what that word is? Thank you. So you may have had a teacher who told you the same thing. Yes. And he said, if you remember that word, and you won't, if you remember that word Holmes, Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior, you'll never, ever forget. And I used that when I had anatomy class. I said, and had to remember all the 220-some muscles, I would put words together, words that didn't even make sense. But I would, as soon as I got in for a test, I'd remember that word, and all of a sudden it came back to you. So it's a good way. So in light of that, I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to give you three T's that you will never forget. Okay? And then I'm going to give you the fourth part. So when we look at God's word, and I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it, the general division of God's word is divided in four parts under that twofold purpose. So let's look at the first three parts. The first three parts are the fulfillment of prophecy concerning Calvary. The second one is the fulfillment of Scripture concerning the tribulation. And the third one is the fulfillment of prophecy concerning the throne. So therefore, all you have to do is remember the three T's, the tree, the tribulation, and the throne. And that's what prophecy is all about. But then you have a fourth division, and that is the mystery. So that's how clearly you can divide Scripture: the tree, the tribulation, and the throne. That's the fulfillment of prophecy concerning Calvary, the tribulation, and the throne. But when you get to the fourth part, what Paul talks about is the dispensation of the mystery, which has hidden God since the foundation of the earth. And it's concerning the church of the mystery, which is the church of the body of Christ. Now, what a lot of people will do is they'll take that and they'll place that in Christ's earthly ministry, or they'll take the body of Christ and place it at Pentecost. And what is the problem with that? Because if you take Paul's epistles, he wrote half of the New Testament out of the Word of God, you will not see the term the church, which is his body, in Christ's earthly ministry or in Peter's message at Pentecost. So when you're dividing Scripture, in the beginning with that twofold purpose, in the beginning, it says God created the heaven and the earth. What could he have said differently? He could have just said God created the universe, right? But there's a special reason why he said he created the heaven and the earth, because that's the twofold purpose. There's a purpose for the heaven, and there's a purpose for the earth. And in Revelation 21, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. He could have said there'll be a new universe, but he said the same thing. So right after Genesis 1, even though he said he created the heaven and earth, all through the Old Testament, all through the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and all through the ministry of Peter at Pentecost in the first part of Acts, it's all about the earth. Not till you get to the Apostle Paul is it about the heavenlies. That's why in six little chapters of Ephesians, the word heavenly is used four times. It's never used in all of the Gospels that Christ presented. So very clearly, why is it a mystery? Well, to me, there's a simple explanation. Because it does not fit, or it does not fall in line with the prophetic Scriptures. That's how simple it is. It doesn't fall in line with the tree and the tribulation and the throne. It was a secret purpose of God, hidden God since before the foundation of the world, as Paul tells you. That's why Paul, again, some would say, boy, what an ego. In Romans 2:16, he talks about my gospel, and that Jesus Christ is going to be, that people are going to be judged by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And in Romans 16:25, he says, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was hidden God since the foundation of the earth. But before that, he said, if you want to be established, you have to be established by my gospel. The third time that he uses that term, and you can look it up, is in 2 Timothy, when he says, consider what I say, and you understand all things. And then he says what? That Jesus Christ was born of the seed of David according to my gospel. Different than what Peter preached. So when we look at that, that's why it's a mystery. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fall in line that people try to do as they try to mix up. That's why there's so confusion. They say, I don't know if this is true, but as I read that there are over 300 different denominations. There was never to be any denominations. There was only to be one church today, which is his body. Amen. So when we look at that, let's look at that, how clear that is, and why Paul is the only one that uses that term. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you know the passage. And this is all about the one baptism. And it has nothing to do with water. We always have to make that clear. The one baptism he talks about now. From verses 12 through 27, you can count them in case I made a mistake. 17 times Paul uses the word body. Just in those passages. 17 times. And he makes it clear what he's talking about. And he uses a metaphor. And a metaphor is simply when you'd use something to describe something else, okay? When you say that my friend is a couch potato, you don't really mean he's a potato. You just mean he's lazy, okay? He lays around like a potato. Potato doesn't move, okay? Or if it says in a positive way, she has a heart of gold, she doesn't really have a heart of gold. It's just she's kind, she's loving, she's considerate, okay? So metaphors are used in the Word of God. That's why I said be careful when you use metaphor, because no Gentile is a lost sheep. That's a metaphor that Christ uses. He doesn't really mean Israel are sheep. But anyways, that's important to understand. So 12 times, we're not going to look at all the passages, but look at verse 13, verse 12, that's the key one. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members are of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Did Peter say any of that at Pentecost?
No.
Not a word, but yet they'll say the church started at Pentecost. The body of Christ started at Pentecost, but he doesn't. Does he ever say it's Jew and Gentile alike? No, he says, ye men of Israel, ye men of Judah. To the whole house of Israel, I say assuredly that this man who you have crucified is both now Lord and Christ. So very clearly there, you can see it, and you can go through all of it. And again, he uses a metaphor here. Because what does he compare the body to, of Christ? To a physical body. Yes. And so beautifully that is done. I love that. Because he said very clearly, I'll just use an example. He says, can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of you? I don't think you would say that, would you? So what he is saying is, one member cannot say to another member, I have no need of you. We're all significant as the body of Christ. Amen. And he closes it in verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Well, is there any other passage when Paul uses that term very clearly when he's talking about it? And absolutely. All we have to do is go to Ephesians, and you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16. We're not going to look at all of them. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 16, please follow along. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, talking about Gentile, and to them that are nigh. So very clearly he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile into one body. So in this body there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, is what Paul is saying. But that wasn't true when Christ was here in his earthly ministry. He said Israel are children, and Gentiles are dogs. You cannot compare the two, as he talked to the lady of the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15. So very clearly you can see, and I'll go to Colossians chapter 2. We could go to many verses. We're just going to use a few. In Colossians 2, and look at 17 through 19, please. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding on those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and hands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. So again, Christ is the head and we are the body. So very clearly, and there in many messages, Paul is the only one who talks about those terms. Christ is the head and we are the body. The church that he has is a heavenly church. It has nothing to do with what Peter talks about, because Peter doesn't say anything about in Pentecost about I'm going to heaven. He talks about Christ coming back. And he said, when you have Christ coming back from the presence of the Lord, you'll have the times of refreshing and you'll have the restitution of all things that the prophets taught. Peter says, I'm not telling you anything new. Everything that I have told you is searchable. From Samuel all the way through all the prophets, they talked about the same thing I did. But when you get to Paul in Ephesians, you don't have to go to, Paul says, I preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, amen, which was hidden God since the foundation of the earth. None of the prophets knew about it. None of the prophets wrote about it. And all the prophets were ignorant of it. And ignorant just means lack of knowledge. So when you're taking God's word, you can see how beautiful it is. Now, Paul says something else very significant. Ooh, wow, time is moving. So that's a sad one. You only have one time to do a message, so I'm going to do it as quickly as I can. There are three other things that's very important. There are three times in God's word that Paul says, so it's very much significant. He says, be ye followers of me. Follow me as I followed Christ. Be ye a follower of me. Three different times he says that. We're going to look at those passages. Why is that significant? It's because of what Paul says when I look at it. Because every time he says that, he's not talking about following him in the same way. That's why you have to study God's word. And we'll look at that very clearly. And all you have to do before you go to those three passages, I want you to go to... Oh, I always get confused whether it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy that I'm looking for. But in, if I can't find it, but anyways, Paul says concerning himself, he says, you know my doctrine. I can't find the verse right now. You know my doctrine, my manner of life, and my purpose. If anybody can find that passage, either in 1 or 2 Timothy, because all of a sudden I'm getting a blank mind. But the point is, he says other things. He says faith and charity. But the first three are important to understand the times he says fallen. Remember, he says, you've always known of me, my doctrine, my manner of life, and my purpose. So let's go to the first time he says follow me, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at 15 and 16, please. So remember those three things. He said very clearly, you've known my doctrine, my manner of life, and my purpose. So when we're looking at, when he says, be your followers of me, it has to do with those three things. They're not the same. The first one is about his doctrine. Follow me according to my doctrine. And let's look at that in 1 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I beseech you what?
Be followers.
So what is it according to there? Be ye followers me according to my doctrine, my teaching. You have 10,000 instructors, but only one father. Paul was given this revelation. So the first time he says that, it's all about following him according to his doctrine. But now to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the second time that he says that. And remember in Scripture, the only reason they have a chapter break, that's not, it's to make it easier for understand. The way that he has verses to make it easier, that wasn't true in the original. It was just one after the other. So even though 11:1 separates in God's word, don't separate it from chapter 10. They go together, and we're going to see that. So in chapter 11, verse 1, notice what he says again. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of what?
Christ.
Of Christ. Now, here he's talking about his manner of life. How do we know that? All we have to do is go back to, when I saw this, I thought it's how beautiful God's word is if we will study it. Not just read it as people do, but study it. And go back, all we have to do is back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not what?
Expedient.
All things are lawful for me, but all things do what? Edify not. And what Paul's talking about here is very clearly his manner of life and how he conducted himself. And what's going on in 10, he said, if you are invited to a feast of an unbeliever, somebody invites you, and what could have happened there was that that food you're going to eat could have been sacrificed to what?
Idols.
But Paul says later on, which wasn't true when God deals with Israel, he said an idol is nothing. It means nothing today. It's of no importance. But it was important when God deals with Israel.
Absolutely.
And he condemned them and chastised them for worshiping other gods and building idols and so forth. But here, so he says, don't ask about it at all. Just eat it. But then he says something so important, why you and I should esteem others better than self. Because you may have a believer who maybe doesn't know as much as you do and could be upset with that. And so notice what he says to that. Let's look at 27. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sakes. Remember, if any of them that believe not. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that it shows it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is Lord and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not my own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? So he said, but if someone would come to you and I at that time and say, I have a problem eating that food. Then Paul said, I should esteem to that other brother,
yes,
and his conscience, even though it doesn't bother me. And he said, I will not eat of that thing. So see, that's what Paul's talking about. He said, follow me according my manner of life, how I conducted myself, how I looked on others. And Philippians is all about esteeming others better than ourselves. And so I allow how beautiful it is. So now we know when Paul says here, be followers of me as I look at it. I'm going to give you what I see. Others may see it differently. He's talking about follow himself according to his manner of life. The first time he says, follow me according to doctrine. Here he says, follow me according to my manner of life. I am your example. We're going to look at that. I am your pattern. Now, what's the third thing? Is go to Philippians, the third time he says that. And here it is, follow him according to his purpose. As I look at it. Again, I'm only looking as I study the Word of God. So in Philippians chapter 3, and notice what Paul says in chapter 3, and I'm looking at verse 17, please. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So very clearly Paul says, follow me, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Now, what is he talking about here? Remember I said, here I look at it, he says, follow me according to my purpose. Why do I know this is true? All I have to do is go back to verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself too apprehended. to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. So now he says, according to my purpose, what should I always do? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Don't look back. God doesn't want us to look back. Even if there's something you got into, he wants you to go forward in Christ. Always go forward. But here's the key. Why is he say, follow me according to my purpose? Because we should be like Paul in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So you can see what I'm saying. So he says, follow me here as I look at it according to my purpose. And what is my purpose? To press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So three times that Paul uses that follow me, but if you don't study the Word of God, there's three different ways. Follow me according to my doctrine in 1 Corinthians 4. Follow me according to my manner of life, how I conduct myself. And here, follow me according to my purpose. So how beautiful Paul said. Now, why then is it so important? And all we have to do is go to 1 Timothy as we start to close. And again, I think I want 2 Timothy. I apologize. Why did Paul have to do that? 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, as I'm getting old. But notice now why this is all important. And I'm going to start in verse 8. Yeah. And 1 Timothy chapter 1. Thank you, Rhonda. What a great help you are. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. That's Paul's my gospel. Paul's the only one that uses that term, the gospel of the grace of God, in Acts 20:24. Peter talks about the gospel of the kingdom. Paul talks about the gospel of the grace of God. Of the affliction of the God according to the power. Now here's the key. Who has saved us and called us according to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world became. And now then, get down to 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentile. Now as we close, go to 1 Timothy. That is the passage I think I wanted. Or maybe it's, Galen. Well, anyways, I'm looking for the passage. If somebody can help me real quickly, I'm getting tired, where he talks about that he is our pattern. It's in 1 or 2 Timothy, real quickly, if somebody can help me.
1 Timothy 1, verse 16.
Thank you so much, Dale. You're so brilliant. Thank you. Okay. So now, we'll start at 15. For this is the faithful same and worthy of all expectation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. Now remember that word chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first. Now if Peter had the same message, then this can't be true. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe in him to life everlasting. Now, notice the word in 16, that in me first. And then notice the word before that in verse 15, of whom I am chief. I don't know anything about the Greek. I'm a Greek, not a Greek. I could not speak Greek, but I can look at a Greek to understand they are the same Greek word. Two things equal the same sense. So we know when he says I am chief, he's saying I am first. And he said, I am your pattern. I am your example. The message I have given to you has been given by revelation to me. He said, I wasn't given it by man. I wasn't taught it by man in Galatians 1:11-12. I was given it by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in Galatians, he went up by revelation in Galatians 2 to tell them the gospel that he preached among the Gentiles. Now think of this. If he preached the same gospel that Peter preached, why would he have to go up and tell them about the gospel? Because it would be the same thing, but
exactly.
It wasn't. Because he said the gospel of uncircumcision was given unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was given to me. That's why Peter could not be the Pope, because the Pope is supposedly to Gentiles. And when we think of that, as we close, I want you to, on your own sometime, think of the book of Romans and why this is so significant. Because when it says Paul was to take this message to the entire world, well, you and I could say, well, he didn't take it to the whole world. But there was significance in why God had to make sure he got to Rome. And why Paul had to be a Roman citizen. Because if he was not a Roman citizen, they were going to take him back to Jerusalem and they would have killed him. But Paul made a plea to Caesar, which every Roman had a right to do. And the king said very clearly, you made an appeal to Caesar, we'll send you to Rome. Now, why is that significant? Because many in Caesar's household were saved when he was a prisoner. So who controlled the whole known world at that time? Rome did. They were the secular head. So if they were in control of things in Asia, in Asia Minor, in Europe, all the way to Great Britain, and all the way into Africa. So therefore, if that message would have got to Caesar's household, that message would be taken where? The gospel. All the way around the known world that was controlled by the Roman emperor. That was said to Paul, because all through the book of Acts, God said in visions to Paul, please, don't worry, Paul. Nothing's going to happen to you. You must get to Rome. It was actually significant. The second thing to know that Peter wasn't there setting up Vatican City is because of something very important. Do you know when the book of Romans was written? 60 A.D. That's almost 30 years after Christ was crucified. And in the last book of Romans, he salutes or greets 26 people plus their household. Guess who he does not greet? Peter. So Peter wasn't there, or he would have greeted him. He wasn't setting up anything, because there's nothing in God's word that says the 12 ever left the land of Israel to preach. He never told the 12 to depart from Jerusalem, but he said, had a vision to Paul in Acts 22 when he says, they will not believe the message. Leave Jerusalem. And Paul loved Jerusalem as a Jew. I send you far to the Gentiles. So when it says he's an apostle out of due time, he presented a message totally different than the 12. The study of the Bible is to see that twofold purpose that most of even our fundamentals brothers don't see. That's why they love the stories of Christ. When we go back to there, it's not about Christ as the Son of Man. That's a title only used when he deals with Israel. He calls himself that 80-some times in the Gospels. It is not about the man of Galilee. It is not about the carpenter from Nazareth. What a wonderful mess. It's about the Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that Christ gave him from the heavens. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word to understand. Paul was an apostle out of due time. Before his time came, he was born. We just thank you and praise you for this wonderful word. But if we won't rightly divide it, we'll have confusion, and why we have confusion in most of the churches. You cannot start the church with his body at Pentecost with Peter. You have to start it with Paul. When he was sent to the Gentiles, they'll hear the message. I send you far to the Gentiles with this brand new revelation of the mystery, which is not part of prophecy. We just thank you and praise you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And it's